The Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and online at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. We're talking about laws today and what happens if you're involved in a traffic accident. To help us out on that, Brandon Bass with the law firm of John Day. Brandon, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Bart.
Good to have you with us today.
Thank you so much. Good to see you.
Want to remind people that we're having some problems with the roadways, so if you have water on your roadway, we can't say this enough, don't try to travel through it.
Yeah, they've got flood watches just about everywhere, it seems, right now,
doesn't it?
It
really does. The waters are high, the creeks are high, rivers high. The schools are closed today. City and county schools both closed today. But we just moments ago talked with James Evans, who reminded us they will be back open tomorrow.
Perfect.
So be aware of that. We're going to be talking today about things you need to do. If you're involved in an accident or anything on the roadway.
Certainly. Right now, seeing you're just bringing up all the floods out there and the bad roadways. This is kind of the time. It's the time to be too little too late, frankly, in figuring out what kind of insurance you have and what to do, who you got to call if something does go wrong on your way to work or just walking out to the car and finding the flood. The rainwater got to your car last night.
But this can help you plan for the next situation.
Absolutely. We get a lot of calls across from folks who realize after something bad has happened, whether they've been in an accident or just had, a flood roll through, rain or hail damage to their car, what have you. They realize afterwards that they don't have insurance like they need and start having to scramble for things. After you got a problem, it's too little too late to call up and buy insurance for it. You sort of have to get a prepay for that stuff.
Now, we get these people get information over the internet about Tennesseans, be aware this law has changed. Is that anything to think about? Is that just somebody trying to mess you up?
I can't not look at those banner ads and those spam ads. They look like news for a second, and I pause, and you think I would get used to seeing the same stock images of the pretty lady sitting there saying Tennessee laws have changed, Tennessee
yes.
drivers should know. But, you know, Tennessee laws change every single year. We've got a very active legislature going down there to Nashville and decided to tweak things. There's not a whole lot changing in auto insurance, just little bits and pieces. But they'll put in new laws that say stuff like if you are in an accident, while the normal rule is you got 1 year to file a lawsuit if the other driver's charged with a crime.
So that has to happen. The other person.
You get more time to file a lawsuit to sort of wait and let the criminal process shake out. They'll make little tweaks to laws, but for the most part, the laws, there's not a lot of laws changing in the auto world. A few years ago, they had a bunch of laws changing with respect to the what we've talked about autonomous vehicles or AI cars or things like that and what the laws should look like for those. But all I can tell you is that little stock image lady, she just seems to be trying to sell auto insurance or something. But boy, I see that on every news site and everything else, just popping on up.
And if you're a senior citizen, you also may notice some that are saying, attention senior drivers, big changes in Tennessee that you won't believe.
And the word sponsored underneath is in the smallest text known to man. And, you know, I don't know how many pixels it takes before it stops counting as a letter, but they've run it through some computers to figure out what's the bare minimum size that you can legally call this the word sponsored to slide it on in.
Now, for people who are listening and have noticed, sometimes Tennessee has a requirement that you do have insurance, but we understand people sometimes take out that insurance get their license, start driving, and then cancel the insurance.
Sure. Well, Tennessee is a state that doesn't actually check on the front end. When you go renew your driver's license or anything else, you may even be able to renew online and just say, please update my driver's license, my license plate, or et cetera. There's nobody checking your insurance at the time. So in Tennessee, there's no telling if the person sitting next to you at a red light actually has insurance or has ever had insurance before they got behind the wheel. We don't check until after somebody's committed a crime or been in an accident. I cannot remember what the statistics are, but boy, if I remember ballpark terms, Bart, it's somewhere between 20 and 25% of folks on Tennessee roads do not have any insurance whatsoever to cover them.
20 to 25%?
That's my recollection. And the minimum limits you have to have in Tennessee, if you go down to any insurance company, the minimum amount they're required to sell you is $25,000 for whatever happens. And I think if you add up the folks who have no insurance plus those with the minimum, it's something like 40 to 50% of the people driving around have $25,000 or less. Anybody who's had a kid that's broken their arm or had any reason to go by the hospital knows it doesn't take a whole heck of a lot to run up $25,000 in medical bills these days. And if you miss time from work and start adding things up, that $25,000 goes away real quick if you're beholden to the bare minimum insurance out there.
Now, if you are involved in a traffic accident, do you find out this frightening news there at the accident, or does it come along and bite you later?
It's going to come along and bite you later. If you're in an accident, the police come by, they take all the insurance information and they ask all the witness information. They write up a little report. Or if nobody's hurt and you're just sitting there talking, you're supposed to at least swap contact information and insurance information. But take a look at the little card that your insurance company gives you that you stick in your glove compartment, or these days you might have in your built into your phone and a little image. It doesn't say how much insurance. You're not going to find out until the bills start hitting. If you find out that at that time that there's just not enough money in the insurance company's bank to cover your medical bills and things.
Now, you mentioned if you have injuries, doesn't take too much to mount up a $25,000 bill. It doesn't take too much to mount up that size bill if your car is damaged either.
Absolutely. I can remember when I was... when I was first starting driving, somewhere around then, soon after that, I remembered that the average car started costing around $30,000, and I feel like they just keep creeping up since then. So, yeah, with a good bit of damage, it doesn't take too much. What you're really looking at when you're, broadly speaking, two categories of insurance that you're going to have. You got insurance for yourself if you get sued. In other words, you cause an accident or somebody claims you caused an accident. You got some insurance coverage that says they'll pay to help defend you, and they'll pay for up to X amount of dollars to cover you if you owe money for an accident. And then you got another category, and that is, what if the other person doesn't have insurance? How am I going to pay for my medical bills? How am I going to pay to get my car repaired if I'm hurt because the other person doesn't have insurance or drives off from the scene and I can't figure out who it was? There's a bunch of categories under there, but those are the two big dividing lines. How much coverage do you have in case you owe money to somebody or are claimed to owe money to somebody? And how much coverage do you have in case somebody owes you money and they just can't afford to pay it?
Now, let me sort of get you ready for what's to come on our broadcast, because there's information that Brandon's going to share with you that you would be doing yourself a favor to jot down a few of the notes. Obviously, if you're driving down the road, don't start jotting things down. I do want to remind you, this program is also in a podcast format. You can go to our website, WGNSradio.com, look under podcast, listen to it again, and take your notes then when you're not driving. And if you don't know how to get to our website, it's also on every of the major podcast in the whole world. And that includes Spotify, iTunes, the whole bit, Google. They're all there, and Brandon is on all of those. He's a superstar. So I wanted to sort of pass that on to you so you could be ready to, if you can, take some notes. It's easy to do in just a few minutes. Things that you want to do if you are involved in a traffic accident. Tell you what let's do. Let's pause for just a moment. We'll have an update on the weather situation around us and much more. Looks like we're going to have some more showers out there today, too. I know you want to keep up with that.
This is Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station, FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Good morning. Still some heavy traffic out here on 40 coming through Hermitage and Donaldson right now in from Wilson County. Give yourself plenty of extra time out here. There's lots of storm damage over the last 12 hours or so all over Middle Tennessee. I mean, some of the roads could be blocked. Some of the traffic lights could either be out or on the blink. 24 remains heavy westbound out of Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, up through the Antioch area. It wants to slow down now on 65 coming down through Rivergate and up there in Millersville as well on 65 going southbound. Prince's Hot Chicken has new items on a new menu, and they are awesome. I promise you, check them out at princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. One of the things when we were looking at trying to craft our menu to help those who are dieting is the side dishes. A lot of times we're so used to eating starches and unhealthy side dishes. In addition to our spinach, which we've had on the menu from the start, we've added zucchini and green beans, but we've also added broccoli. The broccoli is properly steamed, so it's not too soft and not too hard. Please have your family join our family for lunch or dinner 7 days a week at Demas's.
Hi, this is Amanda at Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. We have all the items needed to spoil your pet, toys, food, treats, and more. Whether you're a new pet parent or a very experienced one, you'll find the items and help you need here at Animal City. We are proud and thankful to be celebrating our 33rd year in the Murfreesboro community. That's Animal City. We're at 919 Northwest Broad Street, right here in Murfreesboro. Please check out our Facebook page.
Skies will become mostly sunny here this afternoon, high into the mid-80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, low near 58. Friday, partial sunshine develops, high of 73 degrees. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 66.
Hi, this is Ryan with Tire World Laverne, here to serve all your automotive needs in Rutherford County. We welcome all your fleet and commercial accounts, along with all your regular routine maintenance. Tire World, a hometown family business you can trust.
And from the WGNS newsroom, we remind you that the Murfreesboro City Schools, as well as the Rutherford County Schools, are both closed today. They will be open tomorrow, though. Murfreesboro City Schools and Rutherford County Schools are both closed today. Now, if your child goes to the city schools, the ESP program, Extended School Program, will be open today under the inclement weather policy. So if you have a child in the ESP program, you know what that policy is, and that's what they're using today for the city schools ESP. Again, city and county schools are both closed today, but they will be open tomorrow. As we talked earlier today with James Evans, he said they're going to be doing a complete assessment of damage at the schools and have an update for us a little bit later this morning. We'll pass that on to you. If you were listening earlier, you also heard that the 9-year-old son of the Rutherford County School System, the director is Dr. James Sullivan. His son, 9-year-old Asher, was out playing in a yard, in a neighbor's yard last night as the storm struck, and he lost his shoe, fell into a drain, and he reached over to grab it. In doing so, the 9-year-old fell into the drain, was pulled into the drain, but emergency responders were able to rescue him. He is now at Vanderbilt Hospital, but is in stable but critical condition. Stable but critical condition this morning. So that's for Asher. the 9-year-old son of Dr. James Sullivan and his family, the director of the director of the Rutherford County Schools. Again, Asher is at Vanderbilt Medical Center this morning in critical condition. We will have updates for you on anything that is storm-related as the morning progresses. Stay with us. It is 8:30, and you're listening to WGNS Murfreesboro. Thank you for joining us. Brandon Bass is with us from the law firm of John Day. We're talking today about what do you do if you're involved in a traffic accident. And the main thing is, get names, see if you can help people first. If anybody's injured, try to help those around you first. After you do that, sort of get a feel for what's happening.
Absolutely. Making sure you know who all the witnesses are besides the person who may have hit you. Even if they're sitting there telling you at the scene, I'm so sorry. I want to make things right. There's no telling what they'll say once the bills start hitting. So finding out who else can back you up, who might have seen something. And these days, you never know who's got a Ring camera on you see those. I don't have one, but you see on the YouTube all the time, you see folks who have cameras built into their car these days. Anybody that may have something that can help you out that way before those things disappear. It's real hard to find somebody just based on a basic description if you didn't get their name and phone number at the scene.
So if they're involved, obviously you're going to have their names, especially if the police come. But if they are not involved but saw something especially, those are eyewitnesses, and they're not a part of the situation.
Absolutely. You know, even if they didn't see what happened, but they heard the other driver walk up to you say, "I'm so sorry, it's all my fault."
Ah.
Well, when that other driver starts backpedaling on that later and saying, "I'm not paying these medical bills, I'm not paying for your time off work, I'm not paying for any of this, I've changed my mind, and I never said that," boy, it'd be real nice to just be able to say, "Let me introduce you to this here school teacher who overheard everything, a bystander who overheard everything. Let me introduce you, members of the jury, to this school teacher who could say, yes, that is absolutely what the man said at the scene before he decided that he didn't want to pay these medical bills before the insurance folks got involved."
Now, if you're involved in the accident, if you have a phone with a camera, should you be taking pictures?
So, different lawyers will say different things about that. Should you be taking pictures is a question. The fact is, my main concern for folks is getting better, right? So, if you're hurt real bad, get your way to the doctor's office. Don't be walking around with a broken leg trying to get a better camera angle. Just take care of yourself and get on down. Get on down to the hospital, walk-in clinic, or whatever you need to do. And one of the first things that the police will do, or if you call 911 or anything else, they'll tell you is get the cars off the roadway anyway. They don't want cars blocking other traffic and leading into more and more accidents at an intersection. Once the cars have been moved, there's not a whole lot there that's helpful in terms of photographs. But if there's something, if you can get some leg of the land that would be helpful, then snapping a few pictures, it can be helpful. So that's a roundabout way, Bart, of saying, you know what, photographs are helpful, but I don't know why somebody needs to sit at the scene of an accident where they're hurting. And after the cars have been moved, and you can't really tell what angle people hit each other at or who did what, why they need to get out and take a whole bunch of pictures. For my take, my personal advice more than as a lawyer is get yourself to a doctor's office if you need to go. Otherwise, get away from the road before you get hit by somebody else.
That's a good point. Yeah, because that happens a lot.
Standing around, I have to do it as part of my job is to go out to accident scenes and take a look and get a good feel for the lay of the land and see what angles you can see traffic lights from and who would have pulled out from what parking lot, etc. And I don't like doing it. I get paid to do it. I don't like going out walking around where there's cars flying around at 50 miles an hour. So that's where as much as a lawyer I love having the evidence, I'd just as soon somebody get home and get safe than to be walking around a little dazed and confused after a crash and get clipped by a semi or something when they were... Go from having a little bit of a neck pain to having broken bones because they were staying out there trying to take some more pictures.
Now, the weather conditions, I would imagine, have a lot to do in many cases with the accident. Should you try to document what the weather was like?
Potentially. In this digital day and age, I mean, here at WGNS, y'all track all sorts of stuff. We can get what the weather was with pretty good certainty within any 15-minute period, just about anywhere in the United States, certainly anywhere in Middle Tennessee. It's not much of a problem here in Murfreesboro, so I don't really need that piece all that much. And I've got a fancy iPhone, upgraded a few months ago. I still can't record somehow what the wind is or anything else at any given time. So we can tell every other piece, though, for what how much clouds were overcast, you know, what time the sun went up and down and things like that. One way weather really factors in is stuff like the floods that we have now. And I feel bad for folks. I didn't know any of this stuff until I became a lawyer, and I became a lawyer a few years after getting out of high school. So I bought insurance a few times. I had no idea what I was doing buying auto insurance until I actually had to deal with auto insurers. There's a special part of auto insurance policies called comprehensive. Your people say three words that I don't think many people know what they mean. People say they got full coverage, and all full coverage means is you got something in every box. Something, it may be $50 worth of coverage. You got enough to replace a broken antenna under any set of circumstances, but the amount of money you have in each box on your insurance policy matters. And when you have things like floods, if you have weather damage, in other words, it's not an accident, it's not a car accident, it's just act of God or what have you, the line on your auto insurance policy that would cover weather-related damage is called comprehensive. You look on your policy, take a look on under coverages, and if it says comprehensive and has a dollar figure there, that dollar figure is how much coverage you have if something bad happens to your car and it's nobody's fault whatsoever. You weren't even in it. It was sitting there in the parking lot and suddenly a tree fell on it or what have you.
I'm glad you brought that up because we have a text here from a listener who said they live in Eagleville and their car got damaged last night by hail. And it looks pretty rough, they say, in the daylight. What that can do some real damage, hail can.
Oh, well, I remember 15, 20 years ago here in Murfreesboro and over in, I think it was Franklin, just a terrible set of hailstorms that just tore up just about every car that was left outside whatsoever. It'll do some serious damage. If you have a hail damage claim under your insurance, it's going to be under the line for comprehensive. If you don't have comprehensive coverage, which isn't required, it's sort of an add-on purchase,
mm-hmm.
or if you don't have enough to cover the amount of damage, you're going to be the one to have to eat that cost. There's nobody you can sue for making it hail. You know, there's nobody else who you can hold responsible for it or anything else. That is one reason to have that comprehensive coverage is just for that purpose. But it's up to a certain amount. There'll be a dollar figure next to it, and it's up to whatever it is, the amount of coverage you have on that policy. Meaning, you know, you have $500 and the hail's hit hard enough to wipe out the hood.
That's going to be serious
damage. Yeah, it's going to look rough for a while unless you could pay for it with a check.
Now, you mentioned that that's going to be under comprehensive because there's nobody that's responsible for that.
Yeah.
What about if your car is parked in the driveway and a neighbor's tree falls into your yard on top of your car?
It's an excellent question, Bart. What's going to happen there is people are going to ask a whole lot of questions. and the answers to those questions, for example, hey, I've had a tree fall, and it was in perfectly good shape before a bad storm came. And it didn't hit anything, but it cost me a tree and a gigantic gap and a bunch of work to try and make my yard look okay again. But it was a nice, good, healthy tree. Just a really, really bad storm and lightning hit it. And I've also seen folks where trees fall over and they're just rotten to the core. And they should have been cut down years ago. So you start with the question is that a tree that you've been complaining to your neighbor about for years that it looks like that thing is just waiting to fall and take out a fence or a kid or something? And then if that happens, your comprehensive coverage should still protect you. But even if it's not enough, your neighbor may have insurance that will protect them. And insurance works this way. Look, insurance doesn't say, this is all the money I owe. I only bought $25,000 in coverage. Therefore, I cannot be responsible for more than that. I don't care if you lose both legs. Not my responsibility. That's not the way. You don't buy a get-out-of-jail-free card with insurance. You say, I want this insurance company to guarantee it'll pay up to X. Right? So regardless of whether your neighbor has insurance or not, they still may owe the money. That said, I don't personally necessarily want to get in a feud with my neighbor over a broken side mirror. I don't necessarily want a long-term gripe over that issue. So there's a whole lot of questions about, is it the neighbor's fault? Whose insurance should apply, even if it is? Do they have enough? And boy, is the juice worth the squeeze to pick a long-term fight with a neighbor, or is this going to make it awkward every time your kids go trick-or-treating?
I guess really, get with your insurance agent.
Yes.
And get their advice. They'll tell you what your policy will do and what it won't do also.
Yep.
One other thing, and this just came in, sort of an interesting twist to things. A lady said that the water, she lives on a creek, and the water did rise. When she got up this morning, the water was all over the backyard where the car is. The car did not float away, but it is under about a foot and a half of water. I mean, which I guess she doesn't mean over the top. I don't think she does.
Oh, I hope not.
I think she means it's up about a foot and a half.
Yeah, but floorboards and stuff may be trashed. And boy, you get standing water inside a house, car, anything else. I don't know anybody that can clean that easy. So that's going to be one of those areas where, again, take a look at your own auto insurance policy. See if it says comprehensive coverage. See how much is there. If it is, call in advance. One thing I'd say this is, if you got to make a claim under your auto insurance, call them first. Don't go to the mechanic's office or the garage and drop it off and then hope that insurance will pay later, because they may come along and complain and say, well, look, your mechanic charged you $2,500. This is a $65 repair at another garage, so we're not going to pay that. Just like with sort of health insurance, it really helps to get prior approval before you start making repairs to your body or your car.
So do that.
Check it out. Boy, that can be very unfortunate whenever there's water intrusions.
We have another one here. This one, person was involved in an accident earlier with a large trailer truck, and they said that it's a whole different situation when a trailer truck is involved. Can you help us? Well, what do you do? So the rules are different or what?
With tractor trailers, yeah, there are different rules. First of all, tractor trailers are required by law to have more insurance than the rest of us. You know, when they're driving tens of thousands of miles a year, federal law says thou shalt carry at least $750,000. It can be more depending on what it is they're carrying. But so they got to have more coverage. Also, look, you don't see a whole lot of fender benders involving tractor trailers. Every now and then, somebody will clip a parked car in the parking lot and maybe do a little bit of damage. But a tractor trailer, especially if it's loaded, you're talking about weighing tens of thousands of pounds and moving 40, 50 miles an hour, force equals mass times velocity. It's going to hurt. With a tractor trailer, if you get hit by a tractor trailer, it is just very, very, very likely to hurt real bad. The process is theoretically the same. In practicality, A, there's usually more involved. B, the tractor trailer insurance companies and trucking companies themselves are more attuned to what they should do in order to defend a case early. So a lot of times they can reach out and say, hey, we want to take care of you. We want to do things right. And then you find real quick a few months later that they've sort of walked you down a primrose path. They've been real, real nice to you until it's too late. Now you got yourself in trouble and they try to take advantage of you. If it's a tractor trailer, I get a lawyer involved very, very, very quickly. There's also a bunch of federal regulations to look into. They're not that complicated, honestly, but you got to look real close. The last thing we as a society want are truck drivers who have been on the road for 4 straight days with only a 4-hour nap in between. Right, so there's laws that say you got to stop here and there, you got to take breaks and stuff. Looking at have they been doing that and figuring out what document you want to figure out again, whether this was a driver. I've had cases where a truck driver's federal logs, things they got to fill out every time they stop, write down whether it's on a computer or by hand. I drove from here to here at these times, so I left Nashville and I got to Pennsylvania, you know, I don't know, what is that, 8 to 10 hours later, if I had to guess, 10 hours later. It took me this long. I left at 8 a.m., and I got in 6 p.m. And I was in Pennsylvania at 6 p.m., and then we start looking, and there's a fuel receipt showing that they were actually getting gas in Texas at that time because they were just writing down anything they wanted to say that they were not driving for 3 days straight, and they would just make up entirely where they'd gone around the country while refueling in Texas and potentially stopping for snacks in New Jersey and never being where they'd sworn to the federal government.
So you can check credit card usage and confirm where they were.
Yeah. So like I said, at the end of the day, truck driver's basic job is the same as the rest of us. Stay between the mustard and the mayo on the roadway.
And can you also go to the cell phone? Because don't the cell phones keep track of where you have been?
You can do a lot of stuff with cell phones these days. That starts to get exceedingly complicated, but that's really why I would say get a lawyer in early. You know, if everything works out and you are lucky enough to just be in a fender bender with a tractor trailer, then it's not all that important. But once the stuff starts mounting up, and again, it's real easy to get hurt real bad when it's being hit by a truck. Then you want to start looking into all those things, and I would not want to do it without a great deal of experience. You find out later. You asked about cell phones, Bart. Those records are there for some period of time. It sort of depends on the company. And then they're getting archived all the time. You can't really go along and say, hey, you can't call up Verizon or T-Mobile and say, I've been an account holder with you for 10 years. Can you tell me where I was in January of 2013? Can you pull that record up for me? The records are gone. It's not easy to get, so getting active early with a lawyer who can figure out what the issues are going to be and what evidence they're going to want.
So the secret is getting in touch with a lawyer early before information fades away.
Before it fades away, before it's too late. And I see this all the time with my friends as well, who are not just going through car accident disputes or anything else. Nobody wants to hire a lawyer for the most part. Everybody, if we could all get it done over a handshake and a cup of coffee in life, it would be great. If we could buy a house and never have to fill out all those deeds and things like that, it was all just a handshake, it'd be great. But we all sort of then go to the point of, I think most people get to the point of saying, well, I'm going to try and do it on my own. We'll see, and then we'll see if we can do it over a cup of coffee and some pecan pie and see if we get it done the old-fashioned way. And if we can't, then I'm going to hire a lawyer, and then we're going to take him to task. The problem is evidence is gone. You've made statements that can and will be used against you in a court of law. You sort of eked away and made things worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And sooner or later, it's real hard to salvage, or it's doubtful that anybody can salvage it for you.
It's interesting how listeners are involved in different situations that take one thing, and which is pretty complicated and twisted a little bit, and it's totally different. We have a question dealing with an issue like that, and we'll cover that when we get back for the final segment. Stay with us. Brandon Bass is our guest. He's an attorney with the law firm of John Day.
Get your good neighbor events to us in writing 2 weeks before they occur. We'll put them on the radio and the internet. WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Come see us for all your clothing, gift, pet, any needs that you have for your lawn, garden, and also don't forget anything you need for your farm. Please come visit us at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op.
Where are you located?
985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
Do you have to be a member to shop here?
You don't have to be a member with us to shop.
The Co-op Farm and Home Center on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off South Church.
If you're looking for an authentic relationship with financial experts who genuinely care about your unique needs, Capstar Bank is for you. Capstar Bank is dedicated to the people of this community. Capstar Bank wants to help you reach your financial goals because at Capstar Bank, you matter to us. Capstar Bank, 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, capstarbank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The Wake Up Crew, Swap and Shop, Action Line, The Roundtable, Rutherford Issues. We're keeping it local. Weekday mornings here on News Radio, WGNS.
It was a rough night last night. If you're just tuning in, maybe you're just waking up. I envy you, first of all. That's mighty good if you can just now be waking up. City and county schools are both closed today. And if you're asking yourself, why are they closed? Rising water, flood waters, and around the schools, especially over in the Eagleville area. So be aware of that. The power is out at some of the schools. We talked earlier with James Evans at the Rutherford County School System. He said about 9 o'clock this morning, they're going to be going over to the damaged schools in the county, at least, and doing an appraisal of what was damaged and what needs to be done. He said the majority of the schools, and probably all of them, will be open tomorrow. So we'll be alerting you as to that news. The city schools are closed today also because of the problem of school buses having a difficult time with trees down over roadways, water levels up, things of that sort. So the cities are closed as well because of school bus transportation. I don't think any of the city schools have flood damage or anything like the county has. But you need to be aware that if you have a child in the city schools, the ESP program is open today, but it's open under the restrictions of the inclement weather policy. So if you have a child in the ESP with the city schools, you know what that inclement weather policy is, and that's how they are operating this morning. Also, keep the family of our director of the Rutherford County Schools in your prayers. His son is in critical condition this morning. 9-year-old son, fourth grader, Asher. He was out playing in the neighbor's yard as the storm was approaching and dropped his shoe, lost his shoe in a storm drain and bent over to retrieved the shoe and fell in, and the storm, the drain just took him under. Fortunately, quick work by emergency responders got Asher out of that storm drain quickly, rushed him to the hospital. He's now at Vanderbilt Hospital. Unfortunately, he is in critical condition, so keep them in your prayers. We're talking this morning with Brandon Bass with the law firm of John Day. We're talking about things to do if you are involved in an accident. And that's pretty timely these days. These accidents can be anything from fender benders to cars running into you to accidents caused by weather, trees falling on you, hail damage. One of them, a listener had brought up about the tractor trailer damage. And here's a twist on that one. Brandon, if you would, this person says that she lives in the rural area here in Rutherford County, and farmers use tractor-trailer trucks to load their crops onto. They cut the crops and put them in the trailer truck. Sometimes they just take them over to a silo in another part of the farm and have to cross a county road to do that. Sometimes they have to take them into a small community where they sell them. So if it's a tractor trailer truck or if it's a big trailer pulled by a farm tractor and they're involved in an accident, what laws affect those? Because this lady said that happened to her.
I'm sorry to hear that. So for the most part, the same laws that apply to all of us as drivers also cover tractor trailers or larger trucks. The federal laws kick in when a truck's being driven more than 150 miles an hour from its home base. 150 miles an hour. Excuse me. At that point, a lot of federal laws kick in. If you've got a tractor trailer going 100, excuse me. If they go more than 150 miles for their trip, then it starts to get under federal territory or if they're crossing state lines.
So okay? There's the secret right there.
Yeah. And then the federal laws just put in a bunch of standards that say stuff like the number of hours that a person can drive, et cetera, per day. That they have to have some basic tests because they're driving across state lines so that they could deal with anything anywhere, not just in their home state. If they're going less than 150 miles, it's pretty hard to drive 6 days straight or 2 or 3 days straight without going more than 150 mile radius, just back and forth. But regardless, anybody behind the wheel of a vehicle of any kind has to stay between the lines, give adequate space. And depending on the nature of your vehicle, you may have to give more space. The law is, at a broadest level, everybody has a job to act safe enough for others. Safe enough meaning do what another rational person would do under the circumstances. One of those circumstances is, what are you driving? It's a lot easier to drive a little Civic and to get a little bit closer to other vehicles around than if you're driving a dump truck or a tractor trailer. So if a tractor trailer, if somebody's driving around a truck like a tractor trailer, going back and forth to farms and things, they should be extra careful. The way defensive driving coaches will always say it is, if you're doing following distance for keeping space, you add 1 second for each additional factor for how far back you stay from the vehicle in front, right? One of those factors off the top is a tractor trailer is more dangerous by default. So add a second. Just stay that much further away because there's no room for error. So
we have about a minute left in our program, and here's another question that I really want to get this one because it does apply to a lot of people. For people who have horses and livestock, taking them to the Tennessee Miller Coliseum for a show or sale, doesn't have to be a tractor trailer truck, but a long trailer pulled by a truck. Is that considered a tractor trailer? What laws apply to that?
I don't know anything specific to the horses. Same rules apply. If it's going long distances, it's going to be probably some federal laws kick in, but for the most part, be safe. And then there's another layer on top of that. Everybody who owns an animal whatsoever has a general job to keep it off the roadway. You keep cows, horses, anything else. Those get on a 50 mile an hour roadway and somebody can get hurt real bad. And when you're transporting them, then the additional legal part is, keep those dang doors shut. Keep that animal locked in, because if it gets loose on the highway, somebody's going 50 miles an hour around a curve and there's a horse or a cow in the way, they're going to get hurt real bad either hitting it or dodging it.
Wow. So for those of you who are raising emus, and I've heard some interesting tales from the sheriff's office about chasing emus down rural roadways. Emus are involved or included in that, too. Our guest this morning, Brandon Bass from the law firm of John Day. Brandon, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks. Good to see you, Bart.
Stay with us. Much more to come right here on your good neighbor station, WGNS Murfreesboro, will be updating you on the latest situations.